Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
My daughter would not go to sleep the other day, and our kids are great sleepers, but that night she would just not want to go to bed. I think it was by God's providence that she did not want to sleep, because while I was holding her and rocking in a chair, I pulled out my phone, opened up a Kindle app, and I read a book that I bought too long ago. And the whole book was edifying, and it brought a lot of blessings. But I would like to share with you the ending of the book, because I think we can be encouraged by it. You heard me preach about St. Paisius Wilczkowski. He is a Romanian saint who, in very basic terms, renewed faith and spiritual life in Romania. He is a very good saint to pray to if one wants to grow more deeply in spiritual life. Monastery that St. Paisius built and rebuilt during his time flourished in asceticism, this practical way of living Christian life. And many vocations to monasticism, to priesthood, came from that, to that monastery. And many other people, lay people, came to seek direction on how to live a life from those fathers who lived in the monastery. But after St. Paisius' death, the monastery became less rigorous, both because of prosperity and because of the excessive freedoms they granted to the laity who visited the monastery. Some would bring their whole families and they would spend months at the monastery while engaging in worldly entertainments. And as we know, we can't live for both. So when the monastery was engaged in these worldly affairs, it was already going downhill. The monks became more careful of their vineyards and gardens rather than of their spiritual life. And Abbot Sophronius, who succeeded St. Paisius, was well known for his serious spiritual life. He kept that rule that St. Paisius has given him and his brothers. One morning, Elder Sophronius came out before the dawn out of the monastery gate, and he had there a fearful vision. He saw a demon in a military garb standing there guarding his post. Abbot was terrified by this sight, and when he recovered himself, he conversed with this demon and was told that the demon was the commander of forces of darkness assigned to wage war against this monastery and this monastic order and those who come and seek refuge. When St. Paisius was alive, the demons were not able to prevail because of his experience in spiritual warfare. Now, the demon said, his troops no longer are needed. And they have nothing to fear because the monks have grown cool in their spiritual pursuits and are taking up so many worldly cares that they are too busy. As things had progressed, fewer and fewer demonic legions, which is thousands, were required to be there, disappeared. They were not needed anymore. At this, the abbot, with deep pain, asked, "Why have you remained?" And the demon revealed his true purpose being there. He said, "It is true that we don't need to be here anymore and to fight against you, but because your love for God has grown cold and you have become engrossed with worldly and earthly affairs. But there is still one thing in this monastery that disturbs us and causes us anxiety beyond your belief. It is those filthy rags. I mean the books that you have in your library. We live in fear and trembling that in case any of your young monks ever take them into their hands and begin reading them again, once they begin reading those vile rags, they will learn of your ancient piety and your ancient hostility towards us. And the little young monks will begin raging war against us again, and then they'll teach that to the laity that comes. And the demon continues. He says, they learned that Christians of old, both lay and monastic, used to pray unceasingly the Jesus prayer, fast, examined and confessed their thoughts, keep vigils, and live as though they were foreigners and strangers to this world. Then, the simple-minded as they are, they actually begin putting that foolishness into practice. Furthermore, they even take all of the scriptures seriously. They rail and rail against us like wild beasts. And let me tell you, one of those hot-headed fools is enough to chase us all out of here. They become as unrelenting and uncompromising with us as your executed leader, Savior Jesus Christ. We have come to have such peace now and concord with you. But those so-called spiritual books of yours are a constant source of hostility and discord. Why can't we have peace? Why don't you read my books? Why are they not spiritual also? For I too am spirit, am I not? And I too inspire men to write books. And nowadays it's everything else, TV shows, radio. But all that is needed is for one of those wretched rags, which you call books, to fall into the hands of some simple fool, and the whole inferno begins. And we are forced to flee and take up arms against you once more. Why am I sharing this vision of Elder Sophronius with you? We live in a times where faith has become shallow, or maybe not shallow, but grandfathered in, a kind of the same thing that has happened in the monastery of St. Paisius. We live our faith best as we can. But the problem is that when, with each generation, pieces of faith, pieces of truth fall out of our lives and they disappear. And then we fill those blanks with our own understanding of what true faith is. It's not good. We have to do our own due diligence that our faith and understanding of our faith is precise. Hence, that is why we have to rely on these filthy rags or books to give us the spiritual nourishment, spiritual guidance from saints, from the source. To take up these kind of books takes courage also. Fathers of the Church, they teach, and they say that once we start reading those books, our life will change. And while they are not miraculous books, one can read that book over and over again and has no impact on the person. A person who wants to genuinely learn from the fathers and take each sentence seriously as a guidance, then they realize that those words are like mirror that show the person where they lack in their faith and what's missing in their faith. And that's when the true change comes into their life, because they realize how much work they have to done to get done in order to actually live the true faith that we are supposed to be living. But it takes courage. The women in today's gospel show their love for truth through courage. They went to Christ knowing that they can get beaten, they can get killed by the Roman soldiers. But they had pure courage. They didn't care what will happen to them. They wanted to go to the source. And they knew what needed to get done, so they set out and they did it. We have forgotten what true God's love is, what true God's mercy is, and true God's punishment is, or judgment, I should say. We have forgotten and we filled those blanks with our own definitions, what those things are, to benefit our own lifestyle, our own desires. But then we don't live for God, we don't live for Christ, but we live for ourselves. So let's take courage. Let's fill those blanks or these wrong ideas about our faith with the words of our holy fathers and elders. Let them guide us and strengthen our faith. A person who has an ST saint in front of them is a person we should trust the most, because they are the most reliable person to get us to heaven. You know, I wonder what would happen to our church in general if we as faithful would start reading these kind of books and leaving our faith more seriously. I think we would grow and we would become very beacon of hope for those who are lost. Christ is risen.